Silence is a weapon. Violence can hurt someone once, but silence makes a lineup of future victims. Violence will scrape off the skin, but silence will pick off the scab and prick you within. Indifference hinges our suffering open with no one to notice, so no one can close it, and traumatized people never feel safe again.
Welcome everybody. How you doing? This is Sharon Smith, and we are on Iambic Podcast with the author, writer, poet, comedian, and what else? You gotten so much stuff. I mean, it sounds like that you're the Jill of all trades again. You're the Jill of all trades. What else would I call you? Journalist? I mean, there's so much. I would like to give y'all a applaud, a person that I've known very well since I've been in Sacramento. I'd like to talk to Heather Rogier. How you doing?
Do I talk now?
You talk.
Hey, how's it going? I'm all those things. I like how you said I'm both a writer and an author.
Yes.
Because I didn't realize those were different things.
But. Well, you know, I've now seen, just like people say from there's poets and then there's authors. And I'm like, what's the difference? And then people like say, you know, stories or something like that. I'm like, doesn't just make just a writer is a writer?
Right. It's kind of how I look at it.
So explain to me. So what, since you're so much and there's so much impacted into what you do, what starts you off in being a writer?
Oh, God.
I mean, there must be something started you.
Well, I started writing poetry when I was really little. I started writing short stories when I was really, really little.
Okay.
I remember I just liked books and I liked writing. And I mean, my dad's an English professor. I was always encouraged to write. Yeah, so it's hard for me to figure out. Like, I can tell you, you know, I got really into poetry for the first time when I moved to Logan, Utah.
Oh, okay.
Because they had a really good poetry scene there, surprisingly.
Nice.
Yeah, I made a lot of friends that way. Well, that's when it really became a thing for me. I wrote this poem that was like making fun of poetry.
Okay.
And I liked it so much and it went off really well. And I just was like, I want to do more of those. And I guess that's when I found my style, was when I tried to make fun of poetry. And then I started coming more and more into this spoken word sort of rambling style.
Okay. So you've lived in Utah and Truckee and then also Sacramento, or? It's been like a change. Is there more places in the...
There's a few more places. The Bay Area, I lived in Marin County.
Oh, nice.
I lived in Ashland, Oregon.
Is it more all northwest, or have you... I know you traveled far and stuff.
Well, yeah.
But beyond...
But mostly I try to stick to California, Oregon.
Okay.
I haven't really lived... I lived in 5 months for Argentina once. Mm,
okay.
And when I was traveling, I spent like a month in Texas, but
okay.
Mostly, yeah, I kind of, when I would travel, I would always basically end up doing a big loop back to Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
So I would travel, go to music festivals, whatever, and then just like something would go wrong and I would come back to California.
That makes sense. There's a lot of young people's transition when they like, I ran out of money. Came back home, or they come back to where they originally feel comfortable. It's like, oh yeah, I feel comfortable here, I'll stay.
Yeah. For me, it was like I was already traveling broke and making money as I went doing magic tricks, so I'm also a street performer. I should mention that I can guess your birthday. I'm at my house, so we have the cards.
Really?
But yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
March 31st. Okay, I was guessing at random. But yeah, and so I would make money that way, but usually I would end up going back home because I got like robbed or injured or something.
So speaking of that, so when did you start becoming, that is nothing I forgot to add, you are a world traveler, you have traveled the world and stuff. When did you start to leave home and do that? When was your first start off or adventure?
Well, I guess I went with my mom to Peru.
Okay.
When I graduated high school, it was like her graduation present, was we went to Peru together.
Okay.
And I feel like that was one of my first. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, I guess I never really felt like I had a home. I moved out of Truckee when I was 13.
Okay.
And I just never really settled down anywhere since. And I never really felt, you know, at home anywhere. So I'd get itchy feet. But
still?
Yeah, right. And living in Utah was when I really just started getting sick of what you're expected to do with life and started just being a traveler all the time.
So how many places have you basically been to? How many states have you been in or countries?
Well, countries is easier. That's like Mexico, Peru, Argentina, Uruguay, Canada.
Oh, you did the whole Americas.
I did a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So have you gone to like Europe yet or anything?
No. Okay. No Europe, no other continents besides the Americas.
Okay.
One day.
Yeah, one day. That's always a start.
That does take a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Really? I didn't think about that for a second.
But it takes more. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, unless you use a boat, right? Which I've heard people do that. And that takes years to do. So
a little stowaway, actually.
And you got to be good at working boats.
That's true.
So
have you ever thought about going to Alaska?
Thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I read, what is that book? Into the Wild.
Oh yes.
So I decided not to go.
Good point. But well, starting off from there, I'm assuming when you were doing your travel and stuff, you were writing in a diary or something, writing poems, or were you also writing along the way of that? Did that get you also your writing style from being in different places and stuff? Or
yeah, definitely. I was definitely always writing when I was on the road. I was doing a lot of journal entries, and I was kind of developing my style just by writing over and over about our experiences. And I would also, if I had like a feeling that I needed to express, I would write a poem.
Oh.
And my poems got better and better, also longer and longer.
Nice.
Now that I'm like doing slams, I'm kind of shortening them back down again.
Okay.
But if you look at Silence as a Weapon, that first chapbook I released, the poems are really long. So
a missile can hit a target one time, but silence coats it in depleted uranium. Silence passes birth defects to the next generation. Silence goes after the children. Silence is a weapon. Violence can steal your dignity, but silence will resign you to misery. Silence will deny you recovery.
Yeah, that was a mood I went through.
Yeah, speaking of that, so you have two chapbooks, Silence of the Weapon, and what's the second one?
Noise.
Noise, yes. The Silence of the Weapon and Noise. Was Silence of the Weapon your first one that you basically wanted to bring out everything, and then Noise was basically the continuation of that, or are they two separate entities?
They are two separate entities.
Okay.
Silence is a Weapon was my first attempt at a chapbook.
Okay.
And I was kind of putting together the socially conscious poems that I had written, or the ones that I felt like had a certain meaning for the time.
Okay.
And I put those all together that I could fit, you know, in the little booklet. And then, you know, I showed my friend Tyler, who was one of my poetry friends in Utah.
Right.
I showed him the book, and he said, and I told him I'm working on my next chapbook now, kind of like I wouldn't know how many years it would be till I actually sat down and put together another one, but he told me the next one should be called Noise, just as a joke. But then he ended up dying, and so in his memory, I decided to go ahead and name the next one Noise.
I like to believe that you haunt my playlist. Sometimes when I'm listening to Spotify or Pandora and I have my phone in my pocket so I can't see who's playing and something really good comes on, sometimes if I've never heard it before, I can imagine maybe the reason I can't recognize it is because it's not even from Earth.
Shout out to Tyler. I mean, rest in peace, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I read a little bit of Noise and stuff, and I do see on some of the patterns, on some of the stuff that you've written and stuff, it's not socially political, but it is an idea of what's basically going on with the temperature of the climate of the world today. It does have that kind of feel to it. So how is it? Because I know you're also a journalist, and you used to write for the SNR and all some other papers and stuff. And is there journalism sometimes trickles down to your poetry as normally, or no?
Well, I think it has to, right? If you train to write a certain way, I think it affects the other ways that you write, whether you intend for that or not. I don't think it made me worse, though, at poetry, but it did change my poetry probably a little bit.
More perspective? Or
yeah. Okay. But it kind of more worked the other way, as in when I started studying journalism, I already kind of had an advantage because I'd already spent so much time nitpicking at word per word, trying to make things concise, trying to fit as much meaning into as few words as possible.
Okay.
And that's a lot of times what you're doing when you're reporting is you're like, how do I get all of the facts in like 800 words or whatever your limit is?
Don't call me brave. I wish I were, but I wasn't. I didn't charge this field to the crack of a trumpet with faith in the divine truth and my cause. I flunked life. I sunk this ship. I lived out my death wish until I had jack shit to lose. And then I transitioned.
I understand that completely. And even in poetry. Speaking of that, so there's a certain thing where they call... they got literal poets, and then they also got slam poets, which I normally hear it called the page or the stage. Which one do you feel more comfortable in, the page or the stage?
100% the stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think you can tell when you look at my written poetry, because I don't even make stanza breaks that are still in paragraphs, because it's just meant for me to, like, read it. So, definitely the stage.
So, basically writing prose when you're doing poetry, technically. You're reading prose.
In a way, I guess.
Okay.
Sometimes. I guess sometimes I do have more stanza breaks, but yeah, normally, I guess that is prose form.
Oh, okay.
I kind of always thought of prose more like narratives,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wouldn't necessarily call them narratives.
Speaking of that, and you've also gone into comedy along with that. You're a poet, or you're a journalist, journalist poet, who's also gone to doing now comedy. And how has that changed in the perspective of you doing poetry to now doing comedy? Basically, now isn't the poems that you used to do, or the ideas you think of that were poetry, like, I can make them jokes.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely spend a lot more time now writing jokes than poetry. Although I do work on poems now, but now I don't. It's not part of my routine anymore. It's something I do when I have that feeling that I need to express. And with comedy, I'm coming up with jokes all the time. But it is a very different writing process, because with comedy, it's like I'll observe something funny, and then I'll just sit there thinking about it, crafting it into a proper joke.
Okay.
And I don't actually have to do any writing at all. Sometimes I find that I have better luck not trying to write down and write out and figure out these jokes. I tend to have better luck just like observing something, keeping it nice and sweet, you know?
Oh, okay. So they're going first thought, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Just crafting a premise.
Okay. I can see that. Then you came up to me and approached me. It's like, hey, I want to do a feature. I'm like, okay. Feature over at Sacramento Poetry in November. You've done that, and then also you did the slam. How did you the first Sacramento Poetry Center slam? How did you feel about doing your feature and then going right into doing a slam?
I felt fine about it. I thought, well, the feature was interesting because I was trying to get booked, I think, back in like late spring, early summer.
Yeah.
So that's before I had even started taking comedy seriously.
Okay.
And so for me, like, that was sort of something where it's like, oh, this booking came up, and at a time when I was already like leaning into comedy, but it's like, well, I'm still booked, so I'm still gonna do it.
Right.
And then doing that, yeah, then I was invited to the slam.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, you know, this might be my last time performing poetry. I don't know when it will be again. And then I got invited to the slam, and I thought, okay, I guess I'm still doing poetry.
Right.
I might as well. It sounds fun. I thought I probably would do pretty well. I was wrong. It turns out that the slam poets in Sacramento are incredibly gifted, like way beyond what I was expecting. But It was still a lot of fun, and it was great just sharing the stage with those people, you know. It was really, yeah.
It's a monument. I do thank you for coming out and being one of the first players on the listing and stuff. So, because even as a person myself hosting my first one, that was pretty interesting. I was like, okay, how's this thing gonna play out? And I'm glad that you did come and perform your stuff. I was geeking out. So since you said that, you have moved, you say moved on from poetry to now comedy. So is it now more, you say you're now getting more gigs and getting more bookings and stuff. Is this now the feeling of taking, is it now taking the feeling of what you used to do for poetry or just for what your writing perception was to now doing comedy, as you pointed out? How does that feel now?
Yeah, I think that being stage poet kind of prepared me for being a comedian, and it kind of helped me get used to being on stage performing for people. But I wasn't really doing it that often when I first moved here. You know, I was invited to open mics at Luna's and Sac City College and etc. And so I met a lot of poets, and what I was doing for a long time, I put a lot of effort into it. So I had some pretty good poems that I came up with that I was proud of, and I still like them, but it's like there wasn't that factor that made me like have to go to every possible open mic and read. And when I started leaning into comedy, it like I feel a little bit, I'll start to get depressed when I go over a week without hitting a stage doing comedy. So it was really, it scratched an itch that I didn't even know I had, and now I can't let go of it.
You gotta poop weird places when you're homeless. Fucking, they wouldn't let me poop at a cafe, so I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go in your creamer. You're not gonna stop me, I'm homeless, I might be crazy, you don't know, you're not gonna find out today. You're just gonna let me do it. So that's how the Starbucks let me use the bathroom. If you want to know if the creamer's safe, just wait around and see how they treat the homeless. Find out.
The comic gigs, yeah. Mm-hmm. The guy on the mic, yeah. Most definitely. So I always like this part here where I can do a little shift. So what the shift is going to be about, so you were doing journalism with journalism with SNR and also what's the SAC-B and other ones? Like
not SAC-B. Okay. I almost started with Comstocks.
I just remember Comstock, yeah.
Yeah. And the only other one was the campus newspaper.
And what were those mostly your articles about?
Well, so I got hired as a cannabis writer for SNR and for Comstocks. So that's where I ended up starting, which overall just, I guess, it just didn't... That's not why I started journalism. That's not why I majored in it. That's not why I was interested in it. And I thought at first, like, this is a good kind of jumping off gig. Because, I mean, I do smoke weed, so I would consider myself an expert. But I found, you know, freelancing as a journalist doesn't pay enough. You don't get to choose the stories you want because, you know, they have to agree on whatever pitch they want you to write about. So I wasn't writing what I wanted to write, and I wasn't finding that I could do with it what I wanted to do with it, which is positively impact society. And that was the most important thing for me, is to find a way that I can like use my talents but also have a positive impact. And so it got to the point where it's like, now I'm doing comedy, I'm actually making about the same amount of money as I was freelancing. So I just didn't really feel the need to do something that I put all this effort into and will do, you know, 30 hours of work collecting interviews, transcribing them, hunting down sources in order to make $250. Or I can sell 10 tickets at $10 each and make $100 and go up for 10 minutes. So just the effort that it took in comedy to be successful is like a lot less. And I guess I'm just not motivated enough as a person to do what I had originally planned, which is like work up the ranks into Democracy Now! Or one of these other investigative kind of institutions.
Right.
And I'm also finding that the industry, the news industry itself, is becoming extremely corporate and outsourced. And so it's hard to find paying work in it at all. I think that it's a lot of people are getting laid off now. It's an industry that's kind of going downhill. So I think it's a bad time to get into journalism. But Sacramento had this amazing comedy scene that's probably one of the best in California. And so it's a good, and it seems like it's a great time to get into comedy.
It sure is. So speaking of that, from comedy standpoint, you base so You say you have a you're making a new positive stance, but you are making a positive stance. You know, being that you are a part of the queer community and stuff, LGBTQ community and stuff. Don't you? I would assume you would see yourself as one of the roles in being a positive role model to that side. Do you see more?
I try to be. I am not perfect.
Well, who is?
But but I try to be. I definitely strive for that, and that's something that I figured out when I started leaning into it. When I first got on stage at an open mic doing comedy, I didn't think, oh, this is how I'm going to make a positive impact. But now I'm realizing, like, there is a very, like, one of the most positive impacts I can imagine, actually, for me personally, is to do comedy, because I can get people used to trans people laughing with a trans person, seeing us as just regular folk, and that alone, it has a positive impact. That's kind of what I like doing, is just making people less afraid, less like uncertain, less suspicious of transgender people. And then on top of that, I also tell a lot of jokes that kind of debunk some of the misconceptions about us. So, you know, those two things combined, I feel like does have a positive impact. I feel like I'm on the front lines of the culture war.
All right, you want to eat. What about you? What's your name? I'm beautiful, man. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You want to do the power? Yeah. I feel like we're vibing. I'm transgender. I just thought you should know. I don't know when in the relationship I'm supposed to disclose that information, but I just, for everyone's safety, I just want to let you know, this is not Taco Tuesday. I'm serving chicken.
And just let people know, yes, Heather is a trans woman, but very beautiful. And I didn't know her even before the transition, but still, I'm not going to liberty to tell, because I like her as she is. And I always have. So that's what I'm going to say.
Yes, I'm a trans woman. So listeners at home know I actually have enormous breasts. And perfectly even. Perfectly even.
Most definitely. So being, this is like your first, just getting close to your first year being in comedy.
My 365 day anniversary was sometime late December.
Okay.
About a week before, like around the 22nd, 23rd.
Okay, so you've already celebrated your first anniversary.
Yes, but I only did it like three times until around August.
Right.
Late August is when I kind of leaned into it and started going three times a week.
Okay.
You know,
I did notice that you do pace like Chris Rock a little bit.
I'm a pacer.
Yeah, okay.
I pace a lot. I pace so much, people think I'm strutting the block.
Yeah.
Cops will walk up to me and think I'm a sex worker.
Well,
like,
no.
I'm just a pacer, okay?
I can see that. But are you also still selling your chat books still to people, or no?
No, like, I never really found that to be very lucrative. But, I mean, they're available.
Right.
I don't really have them for sale online yet. You can kind of just go to my blog and download it yourself.
Yeah,
if
what
you
is
want
the blog?
Well, that's reallifepretendpsychic.blogspot.com. I'm also a psychic. I didn't mention that.
No,
but
you did not.
Goes with the street performer.
So that's another, then that's actually another thing to add on the list, a blogger. So are you still also blogging on the regular?
Well, I do have a couple blogs, but no, I don't update them that often. I've been sort of, I guess, microblogging on social media in order to scratch that itch, which is something I'm trying to get away from as well, just because I think it's probably, I kind of am trying to gear my social media to something that will make me more bookable as a comedian.
Okay.
So I am looking for a new outlet for all of my political humor. I might have to start a podcast now.
I can help you out with there.
You know, you have some gorgeous looking microphones.
Thank you.
I like your equipment a lot.
Thank you. So what is next on your what's the next events coming up to you for now? What's upcoming?
Upcoming is I got a couple of shows at Stab Comedy Theater coming up. Token Straight Friend on February 1st. I'm hosting the open mic at Luna's in February, or not Luna's, I'm sorry, at the Lavender Library in February. So that's a queer-friendly mic. I recommend people come and support it. And then on February 22nd, I'll be doing some comedy at the SAC Women's Council 5-year anniversary celebration.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be like a raffle. They're doing like an art auction this month and next month. So yeah, I'm looking forward to all of those things. I might have a couple other shows that are escaping me right now, but those are the big ones.
Thank you, Heather, for you being on here and stuff. I know it's a long time coming. I know we had an issue with a sat on that was Saturday or Friday? No, it was Friday. Thursday. And we got mixed up and stuff, but I'm glad you found your purse. I'm glad you gave your purse back.
I got my purse back from Lost and Found.
I was a little concerned there. I was like, oh man, I am.
I was a little concerned myself.
Definitely.
I'm just relieved I got all my documents changed over so I don't have the same hassle at the DMV. Because that's something I never want to relive again, was changing over my name through the DMV and my gender through the DMV. They kind of screwed it up a few times, so I kept having to go back, you know, and get them to try again and screw it up again.
I feel your pain for some odd reason. It's like, no, my name, I'm male. No, you're not. It's just Sharon. No. you should have. My whole life has been an error with the S and the C so much that I actually told them on my phone when I was I had a regular house phone. I said it's Sharon, Charon. They put Shar, and every time the caller ID came up, everyone used to tell me, "Hey man, you know they messed up your name on the caller ID." What do you mean? It's Shar. I said, "No, it can be." Yes, they put Shar. I'm like, and I even told them. And they still kept it that. I've been that way for all my life. I think I could go back and I'll pull up that phone number and it'll still be that way.
That's rough.
So, yeah. I am Sharon Smith to those back in the days. But, yes, I am still here.
I would complain about people leaving a letter out of my last name, but it's not that bad.
But speaking of which, so, yeah, tell them again your blogs, or do you have a website also that you also use?
Well, yeah, I don't have a website yet. I just have my two free sites. So one of them is reallifepretendpsychic.blogspot.com, and that's my poetry blog. And then my news blog, my journalism blog, my with bylines, you can tell it's been a while, it's got my bylines, that one is at heatheronthecord.wordpress.com. So I'm on the Blogspot and the WordPress, and those that's all I got so far.
Is your handle on all the same on all social medias or
no?
Okay. Well, you just give one. You don't have to give all. If you don't.
I'll just throw my Instagram out there. That one is simple. It's Real Life Pretend Psychic. Same as my blog.
Just like the blog.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go, people. This is Sharon Smith. And this is Iambic Podcast. If you want to check out Iambic Podcast, is Iambic, IAMBIC. iambic.podbeam.com. And then you can also check out Facebook/iambic. I'm on there, Iambic Mag. Or you can go to, or if you need information, just go put iambic zine, Z-I-N-E, @gmail.com. But thank you once again, Heather, for coming to our show and having a discussion with you.
Thank you. This has been a nice conversation.
Thank you. All right. Bye now.